Australia. This is Adam Evans with the National Indigenous News. Australians living with disability are today being recognised for their achievements and contribution to our nation. The International Day of People with Disability is also an opportunity to remind employers about the untapped talent and skills people with disability can offer their workplace. Minister for Families and Community Services Anne Rustin says many businesses are open to employing people with disability, but she'd like to see more taking action.
Australians with disability can make a really significant contribution to many, many organisations. And we know that employment gives people with disability more choice and opportunity to fulfil other ambitions in their life. But it also generates real business benefits for the employers. Getting a job and having a job is an absolute game changer in anybody's life. And that shouldn't be any different for somebody who lives with a disability. Sadly, only around a third of businesses are actually doing it. So I'm encouraging all employers, and not just today, but all year round, see the ability in disability and hire based on talent and what people can do, improving the job prospects for people with disability in Australia.
New data on HIV released this week for World AIDS Day states that among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, the number of HIV diagnoses continue to remain higher than others in the general population. While rates have fluctuated over the past 5 years, they are still between 1.3 and 1.9 times higher than other Australians. The peak body for Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations says there are now real opportunities to take Aboriginal-led approaches and partnerships to address the issue. GP and epidemiologist Dr. Jason Agostino says the response to the COVID-19 pandemic among Aboriginal communities shows authorities should be investing in community-controlled health.
We've seen with syphilis, where there's been a large outbreak within Northern Australia, that in the last couple of years, there's been greater investment with community-controlled health organisations, and we're starting to see that outbreak get under control, which is fantastic. And similarly with COVID, we saw what can happen when people listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leadership. So it's that same investment in community-controlled health organisations so that they can develop and implement stuff to tackle HIV in their communities.
Labor has reaffirmed its commitment to 10 days paid domestic violence leave for workers who need it. With 2020 being labelled as the worst year for family violence, the federal opposition plans to introduce the legislation to stamp the paid leave into law. Labor's social services spokeswoman Linda Burney said family violence was the leading cause of death, disability and illness among women aged between 15 and 44. The Wiradjuri woman told Sky News no one should have to make the choice between their earning capacity and their safety.
At the moment, there are 5 days unpaid domestic violence leave. It is just not adequate for women and families who find themselves in this situation, which is a dreadful situation, to be able to keep appointments, perhaps change schools, in some cases find new accommodation, and all through a very traumatic time. I think there is going to be enormous support, and certainly Caucus was very supportive of this particular measure. It is something that we took to the last election.
We'll have sport coming up next.
Applications are now open for the ATO's Evergreen Program. The Evergreen Program is an entry-level program for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. You'll get to do diverse and meaningful work in a supportive environment while developing your professional skills. Plus, you'll get a competitive salary and excellent benefits. Applications close on the 8th of January. Don't miss out. Apply now and let the ATO's Evergreen Program be the start of an exciting new career. Visit ato.gov.au/evergreen for more information.
Program sponsor.
Here's sport with the ABC.
The Australian Open is now likely to get underway on the 8th of February, 3 weeks after its proposed starting date. If that goes ahead, players would arrive mid-January and complete their 2 weeks of quarantine while only being able to spend 5 hours a day outside their hotel at a gym or tennis court. The Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, is yet to publicly approve those details, but says an announcement is expected soon.
It's many hundreds of players, many hundreds of support staff. It's complex. The notion of doing quarantine, these are elite athletes, so the notion of keeping up their fitness and trainings in the lead up to the tournament is no simple thing.
And that's the latest National Indigenous News.
Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service.
catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land that we are broadcasting from. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS, or if you're tuning in via our app, 98.9FM for the best country, which you can download for free from your app store, so please do so. Which is, you know, a good option for you to do to listen to us live as well. But also, you can listen to us via our website as well, and you can stream us on demand. And there's a bunch of cool features on our website, so that's 989fm.com.au. So please get on there. And via our website, Let's Talk is podcast. So you can listen to us via our website or stream us on Spotify or Google or Apple Podcast. Those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. Joining me on the show this morning, I'll be heading to Sydney, Canberra, and Melbourne, speaking with some Gamilaroi people, or some Gumaroi people, however the other mob pronounce the tribe. And they're organising rallies here in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and also Canberra as well. And one of the reasons why they're organising these rallies is because about 2 weeks ago, the Federal Environmental Minister, Suzanne Lang, approved Santos. So that was on the 24th of November. She approved Santos for the Narrabri gas project, which will see 850 gas wells drill about a kilometre deep to extract gas. I think like hundreds of, and one thing that I saw last night when I was looking through the media list that they put out and some news articles, the life expectancy of this mine will be for 20 years. And due to this decision by Suzanne Lay and by Santos, out of this sort of decision, young Gumaroi people have chosen to get involved in this struggle. And when I say get involved in this struggle, I do want to acknowledge older Gumaroi people that have been, on the front line protecting our beautiful sacred country. There is up to 5 to 6 different mining companies on Gumaroi country, whether that's active, in the process to be approved, like Santos. And what I mean active, there's an open cut coal mine. What has been approved now is fracking, where they're going to frack, a kilometer under the earth, and drill out a gas. So the other mine is coal as well. And that's been there for quite some time, and there has been lots of non-Indigenous peoples that have been on the front line as well. And in my sort of, time down home, I've got involved with that as well, and, slept at some of the camps down there and participated in some of those as well. So today, I'll be chatting with some of the mob from different parts of the country, which I'm very looking forward to as well. And if you'd like to sort of follow, what is happening today at the rallies, if you're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, there's a new page that was started last week called Gamilaroi Next Generation. And Gamilaroi is spelled Gamilaroi Next Generation. That was just put out, you know, last week, because young Gomorrah people, like I said, you know, were fed up and wanted to get involved and stand alongside Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people who have fought for many years and decades to keep Gomorrah sacred and beautiful and to protect it as well. What I might do now is just head to a quick song and then come back. And I'll have a chat to my first guest. I might play this awesome song by an awesome singer. He's his son hosts the Brekkie Show, and is on holidays now. This is Troy Castelli with Shadows on the Hill. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the ground where the bones don't make no sound, hidden so they can be found. I see shadows on the ground on the old Glen Innes Road where the Great Man River flows. Men, women, children slain, buried up there on that range. I woke up in the dead of night, saw two men in the firelight. They had scars across their chest, said their spirits cannot rest. They spoke to me in tongue, I answered back at very once. Never spoke that way before, I am not a man by long. But I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. Where the catfish makes its ring and the birds refuse to sing. Voices follow family lines as they whisper through the pines. In around the granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got off free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
Bose Birram with Let's Talk.
That was Troy Cassidaly, Shadows on the Hill. An amazing song that is. Yeah, I just get like goosebumps every time I hear that song. You know, there's a really good, and I always tell this when I listen to this song as well. First time I saw it, I believe, was on either NITV. I think it was on NITV. And he was singing it at the Country Music Festival, I believe. And he had some dancers, some Aboriginal dancers coming out from the sides of the crowd and like sort of just standing on the stage while he was singing. And he was telling the story about that, about a massacre and something that happened on the other side of a hill, where his old people would tell him, you know, his parents and uncles and aunties and whatnot would say, don't go over there yet. You can't go over there. And then later in his life, he found out about that. An amazing song it is. Really, really deadly song. As I mentioned before, on the program, I'm going to chat to mob in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Canberra about an action that is happening this afternoon. One of the organisers of that action is joining me on the line. Good morning, Ruby. How you going, sis?
I'm good. Yama yama.
Before
How
we go,
are you, brother?
Good, sis. Good. Before we go any further, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Ruby Wharton. I'm a Gomeroi Krimi Yinna. I was born in Weewar, New South Wales, and bred in Cunnamulla. But I'm a member of War and GNG, Gamilaroi Next Generation.
Awesome, sis. Thanks for that. Today, this afternoon, there is an action that is happening. I've been letting the listeners know about that. On the 24th of November, we all saw the media releases and, you know, the statement put out by Santos that the Federal Environmental Minister, Susan Ley, approved Santos. When you heard that call, sis, how'd you feel?
I felt sick to my stomach, in all honesty, and I felt overwhelming sense of hopelessness and just not being able to physically be on Gomeroi when that announcement was made made me real homesick and fret for country like never before.
Definitely, sis. You know, it was like maybe a day or two or three where, you know, like you talk to other Gomeroi mob and you can sort of hear it in their voice that they're feeling it, you know, that it was a bit of a low blow, you know, to our mob when hearing that as well, because, you know, we know that for quite some time, you know, there's been many different other Gomeroi people who are older than us that have been on country fighting as well, you know, whether it was in the court cases or through Native Title or even through, you know, just sort of being out on country, you know, and just sort of, you know, seeing, you know, what these operations look like as well. So not long after that call, sis, you know, there was a call made by yourself and some others on social media to sort of say, hey, you know, let's have a Zoom chat and let's, you know, it's Gomeroi people only and we just want to have a yarn about country and what we can do. Out of that, you know, sort of came this new organisation that is called Gamilaroi Next Generation, which I urge people to go have a look at on social media, please. Could you tell us a bit about the call to do that, sis?
Yeah, so I guess within all that hopelessness that I was feeling, it just became and after so many yarns, like you just said, there's been that many older people, aunties and uncles that have been defending country in the Pilliga. This happened started 10 years ago, really. And they were always telling us to come home and come and stay and come and defend country. And at that 10 years ago, I didn't have capacity. I was still in high school and couldn't get out there. But I guess within all that hopelessness, you realize that we have an amazing tool called social media. And in the last couple of years, my connections have broadened to, and I've linked up with so many different Gomeroi people with all different types of lived experiences and skill sets. And I was like, how about we just do an open call out, because whenever I yarn with other young Gomeroi individually, we're all on that same wavelength and we all want to activate and mobilise and defend country and revive culture. So it's something that I just took it upon myself, and I knew that us mob would always come together. So like there's something with being Gomeroi, but we just have this thing where we're super interconnected with each other anyway, I reckon. But having doing this call out, it was just a sense of hopelessness and just wanting to yarn with like-minded people and like unite and like bring out all of our skills to a table that and amplify the voices of our old people that, in ways that they couldn't do it before.
Definitely, sis. You know, I think being tech savvy, tech savvy, sorry, can sort of amplify those voices as well. There is some use, for social media to sort of amplify, the many sort of older voices or even younger voices who are speaking for country as well. So there is actions, happening in Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra and Melbourne later this afternoon. You mentioned before, you were a bit too young about 10 years ago when sort of, mining, when the call was sort of made to sort of come and be on country and defend it as well. Now you're sort of at that capacity as well. And I know you spend, time in between sort of the city and country as well. How important is it, for yourself to sort of be involved in sort of, some land defense actions and defending country?
It's everything. So I moved away. I was born in Weedle, but my dad and mum always had lived in Cunnamulla. They made a point of ensuring that me and my little brother knew both of our countries and had solid connections to both of them. So mum was always taking us back, and dad was always taking us back down to Gomeroi, and they were always taking us back to Kuruma country in between Cunnamulla and St. George there. And I think being from those two nations is pretty deadly because we share borders and we share similar language and, and there are song lines that we share together. So I think it's crucial for me. I've never known nothing but to go home. We packed up and left Cunnamulla when I was about six. So at every school holidays, we were always home. Every long weekend, we were always in the car going home. And I really love it. It's in my
Thanks.
What I know.
No, definitely, sis. It's really important, and I think, lots of our mob, whether Gomeroi or other black fellows from different parts of Australia, have that sort of same feeling as well, especially when, when you don't live on country as well. Or if you wasn't born on country as well, like myself, we sort of yearn for going back home as well. And things like this, sort of make, rush that process to sort of come back home. But thanks, sis, for coming on the show this morning to have a yarn with us. And just for our listeners, what time is the action this afternoon in Brisbane?
So it's at 4 o'clock at the Santos building in the city. So if you're around the engine, hit the DNG page at the Gomeroi Next Generation and find the address for the Santos building. It's right there in the description box on the Facebook page. But if you're not in the engine and you're listening from online or whatever platforms 98.9 has going on, just get around to the DNG page because there's an event up for every single city on the East Coast, so Newcastle, Sydney, Brisbane and Canberra. So get around it.
Deadly. Thanks, that sis.
No worries.
We'll see you this afternoon.
Yeah, yalu.
That was Ruby Wharton, if you are just tuning in this morning on the program. We're having a chat about the actions that are happening in different parts of the East Coast today. It is in response to Santos and the federal environmental minister's approval to mine Gomeroi country. Just going to take a quick break, and coming up, we're going to play Anthem by Titters. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
RUIH Connect Plus supports mob in connecting to care, whether you're in the community or going in and out of hospital. The IUIH Connect Plus team will work with you and your family to connect you to a range of services to ensure a deadly transition from hospital to your home. We can connect you and your family to a range of services including hospital and home visits, allied health services, transport to and from medical appointments, birthing programs, end-of-life care, and more. When you give us a call on 1800 254 354, we can have a yarn about what health and social services are available to you and how to access it. IUIH Connect Plus operates 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. All you have to do is give us a call on 1800 254 354.
A message from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor.
Cause you don't know the words. Words are hard to remember when they mean nothing at all to the heart who's still waiting for their voice to be heard. Don't sing me your anthem when your anthem's absurd.
Spirum with Let's Talk.
And that was the Titters with their amazing song Anthem. We're very fortunate that for the last couple of years, for the original 100, we've got to speak to them about the amazing music that they have written, have performed, have contributed to our mob. You know, our musicians do an amazing job to sort of articulate our triumphs and our struggles. And that's one of the reasons why we choose to play the original 100 on the 26th of January. If you are just tuning in this morning on the program, my first guest was Ruby Wharton from Brisbane, based in Brisbane, but is a proud Gamilaroi and Kuma woman. And later this afternoon, there is some actions in Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra and Melbourne in regards to, in response to Santos and the Environmental Minister's decision to approve 850 fracking wells on Gomeroi country that will drill 1,000 kilometres under the ground and, you know, take tons of gas, you know, every month, you know, every day for the next 20 years. And that's the life expectancy of this mine. Just really quickly, joining me in the studio, just drove up as well, is Danny. Good morning, my brother. How you going?
Yum and my bread, how are you? Good morning, 98.9 listeners.
Good morning, and you joined us yesterday, and you're joining our listeners again. Thanks for coming on, having a yarn this morning, and also making a trip this morning, brother. Get up early, or you like the early mornings?
No, I like to get up early. My dad was a jockey, bro, so I like to get up nice and early there, the Moree Racetrack, but yeah. Beat the traffic up here, and just get up here and represent the Gomeroi Nation today. I'm really pumped for it.
Totally, brother. And joining us on the phone from Sydney, I believe, Sis, just before we go any further, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Deadly. My name is Tamika Tai. I'm a Gomeroi Dungati Verifier woman. I'm based in Newcastle, but I'll be heading up the GNG event in Sydney today.
Deadly, Sis. One of the things that I kicked off the yarn with Ruby about was on the 24th of last month of November, it sort of became public about, the Environmental Minister's approval of Santos. When you found out, how did it make you feel?
I was shattered, to be honest, but in another sense, I kind of expected it. It seems to be the way that this country is moving forward, in the way that it enjoys destroying our sacred lands and using it for profit in an unsustainable way. But as I said, I was shattered. It sickens me that these the decisions that are made on a federal level without consultation of our mob. So it really rocked me, to be honest, and it makes me think that we're not going to have a future on country where we can appreciate the things that we have as First Nations people.
Mm. Well, just on that point, Sis, last year, Susan Lay, in response to Uncle Stephen Talbot's, he wanted to put a cultural heritage over some part of Gomeroi where I believe it was Shenhua Mining were going in. And her comment to that was the monetary gain from this mining project outweighs the cultural significance of sort of the Gomeroi Nation. Under COVID, we saw lots of sort of destruction happening. We saw in North Queensland, Adani still just steamroll ahead with their project. We saw in Western Australia, the Juukan Gorge caves, being blown up by Rio Tinto. And, just a couple of weeks ago, we saw, a Japurung, sacred trees are being, cut down and chucked in the back of a truck like it's nothing. To your point as well, it's sort of, the cultural significance, of our people, not just on Gomeroi country, but around this country and the world seems to not have a significance, when it comes to the monetary gain. As a young Gomeroi person, yourself and many others, sort of huddled around each other and wanted to organise these actions, a National Day of Action, happening in, I keep mentioning it, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne and Canberra. What sort of, obviously, this drove you forward, but, I know you were involved with FIST and organising the Black Lives Matter rallies, but this is a sort of different type of rally to organise. What sort of, how does it make you feel that, the next rallies that you are organising is to sort of defend country?
I think defending country is important to us because it's everything that we are, and it's who we are as Gomeroi people. Our country is our law. Our country is our spirit, and it's our bloodline and our lifeline. So it's important that we turn up and we continue to fight for our country, because if we don't have it, we have nothing.
Danny here. Can I just ask, it's very inspiring to see from, I'm not quite an elder, I'm not quite a youngster, I got kicked out of the group the other day, thanks for that too, sis, but, the 45 threshold, thanks Bowie too, but...
I just made it, I got four more years, so,
Yeah.
I'm on the edge.
Anyway, I can't wait to use our elders, but anyway, I'm really heartened and inspired by, our younger generation picking up the torch and really taking this fight up for the elders. Because I know, yourself, like Yanni Polly Cutmore, Yanni Dolly Talbots, they're very tired. They've been doing this for a very long time. And to see you young ones pick it up, pick up the torches and fight, and go out there so articulate and intelligent and, you know, passionate and as fierce as ever. Where does this come from for you, younger mob, for the GNG, the Gamilaroi Next Generation?
For myself, you know, these are conversations that I would hear at the dinner table every night with my grandparents. So I think it's something that's instilled in us from birth and in our bloodline, like Gomeroi are warriors. And it's important to acknowledge that we've been fighters since the beginning of time, and acknowledging where our old people have got us over the last 250 years with invasion. It's important to acknowledge who they are and what they were fighting for, and to continue that struggle.
Oh. Yeah, because you've been doing that in Newcastle as well with the Black Lives Matter stuff, and certainly we've seen something that's come from your parents, Russ and Olive there, and also your grandparents, as you mentioned, but that really strong family lineage of fighting and, I guess, representing your community and your people.
Absolutely, yeah. I just, you know, we've got to make being proud of being black cool.
Yep, 100%.
And showing the younger fellas, you know, the generations coming after us, that you got to go home and you got to be connected to them old fellas, and you got to sit down and listen to them, because they're not going to be around forever. And, you know, you got to learn the struggle, and you got to continue to run the ball up.
Sound like your dad there.
So you'll be making up the trip. You'll be making the trip up to Sydney a little bit later today.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready. You're already pumped. That's good. How are things looking? Because in the past, with rallies, you know, under sort of all this COVID stuff, the police and the governments have been pretty apprehensive to let, you know, mob sort of express how we feel. You know, we saw under Black Lives Matter, you know, in Newcastle and in Sydney, you know, you had to go to the Supreme Court to, you know, win a decision to actually hit the street. So how's things been feeling organised down that way?
A little bit anxious, to be honest, because even when you win in a Supreme Court against the New South Wales police, they still turn up and try and intimidate you anyway. So a little bit anxious, just hoping that they stick to their word and when they say that they're going to support us to run a COVID-safe event. We set out to peacefully protest today, as we always do, and just get the job done. But I feel like, you know, when we step up to the plate, as we do every time, you just got to be cautious of them, because they... Yeah. Throw in the cheap shot.
Well, they did at the last Black Lives Matter event down in Sydney when they arrested,
train station, eh?
Yeah, they arrested Ness Turnbull Roberts. They circled them. So yeah, be careful down there, Sydney.
100%. Yeah, and what makes me anxious about that is that was a lawful event which was overturned in the Supreme Court here in Sydney that particular day, and they still targeted and abused and physically. You know, I remember one girl dying at that event because she had an asthma attack from the gas that was thrown at protesters. So, you know, it's something that we need to be wary of, and we need to be cautious, and we need to protect ourselves.
Definitely, definitely, sis.
That's the attitude that New South Wales Police have. So we need to be cautious, and as I said, that was a lawful event that was overturned in the Supreme Court, so they don't even abide by their own laws.
And you know, we're very thankful, like, our program gets syndicated around the country via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NERS. So if there is, you know, mob down in Sydney and parts of sort of Western Sydney or wherever, and they're listening, where can they go to find more information about today's rally, and where is the rally at?
So today's rally in Sydney will be in at Martin Place and Macquarie Street. But people can find information about today on our Instagram page, Facebook page, and Twitter page by going to Gamilaroi Next Generation.
Awesome. Deadly. Thanks, that sis. And, you know, keep solid on the front line down that way as well, you know, because there's lots of us, you know, that will be on the front line thinking of you as well, and, you know, our old people as well, sis. So, no, thanks for, like you said, running the ball up.
Run it up, Art. Run it up, Maury Boomerang.
Like a Maury Boomerang.
Boomerang's there. Let's go.
Now the Jets. Can't forget the Jets, too. No.
And the Shamrocks.
And the Shamrocks. I said, oh, yeah.
47 teams from Maury.
No, thanks, that's sis.
See you.
And if you are just tuning in to Let's Talk, That was Tamika Tai joining us from Sydney, based in Newcastle. Early this year, SIS has been heavily organising, a part of the organising for the Black Lives Matter rallies in Newcastle, which, you know, SIS mentioned, you know, they were the day before, you know, they were in court with the New South Wales police. And 4 o'clock down there in Sydney, they're rallying, head to the Gamilaroi Next Generation page. A little bit later, soon we're going to talk to somebody in Newcastle, Brother Nathan Leslie. He's down that way. He's been doing, a lot of K's over the last, two years, heading back to country, you know, camping on country as well, and sort of, you know, checking out things and how things are moving on country as well. What we might do is take a quick song break. You are listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM, and we're going to go to a new track from Kobe D. You're listening right here. It's A Long Way From Home. It's a really good song. We're just waiting for this to load up, but in the meantime, what we might do,
high flow, that's where I call home. I'm alone. Daughter's all grown, also she can be shown where her ancestors roam, and the Gomeroi own, and the me high flow, that's where I call home. I'm a long way from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. When a red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a long way away from my country. It's a long time since I've reappeared. When a red dirt fly across the clear blue sky, run away cause you might get speared. I'm a
To listen to the full song and 50 million others, tap play full song.
So that was just a bit of an intro to Kobe D's song, which I will play a little bit later on in the program. But what we might do right now is head to an awesome song that came out early this year by Brother Dobby, when everything was happening under the Black Lives Matter issues as well. And this is featuring Barker, I Can't Breathe, on 98.9 FM.
Yeah. Sick of having to explain myself. They wanna know the history, the pain might help. They making me wild, need to restrain myself. If I were you, I would educate myself. Oh no. They want me to hate myself, degrade, dismiss, and erase myself. They said Australia and America's not the same. I say David Dungay, they don't even know the name. That's bullshit. Write to your member, tell them what's happening. You gotta challenge the white settler narrative. Got a lot of books that call us nomadic savages. Maybe that's a connection to them attacking us. Government thinking up any other solution. But truth leads to treaty and revolution. Killers acquitted, your silence is killing. Give us your platform so your people can listen. First came the massacres, then came the mission. Then stole the children, then filled the prison. No wonder our people do not trust the system. Over 400, not one conviction. Shame!
No justice and no peace. They won't charge the police. They both said, I can't breathe. They both said, I can't breathe. No justice and no peace. They won't charge the police. They both said, I can't breathe. They both said, I can't breathe.
He died when you choked him on his back in the pen. Trained angry men. So why are you surprised it was actually them? And what would happen if they were no cameras then?
If you're white, come and fight with your black fella friends, and write down the number of their badge with a pen. The value of a life we shouldn't have to defend, and saying sorry means it never happens again. Some of these cops must have been bullied in PE to kill mob. That's why Kaepernick took a knee. Donald Trump's calling that a lack of respect, but what do you call a knee to the back of your neck, huh? This shit's as bad as it gets, cause some of these coppers really don't know how to protect, and it's legitimized. See, they try to minimize genocide, no more Twitter fights, cause the revolution televised. Go!
No justice, what? And no peace. No. They won't charge the police.
To my motherland, then blame me for it. Then expect me to be silent and then thank you for it. I ain't thankful, they've been killing my people by the masses, and I'm fed up to the neck by you right-wing fascists. I feel anger when my people feel anger, that's connection. We're angry for a reason, cause our babies need protecting. I'm scared to send them out, cause their color is a weapon. When we walk through the streets, people somehow feel threatened. Stop. We only want the system to be civilized. You televise your point of view, then feed the shapes full of lies. You bought the divide when you set up all the missions, and you still cause divide, killing my people in prisons. I'm sick of it, sick and tired.
Show no respect about so-called Australia. Get their knees off our neck.
no peace. Yeah. They won't charge the police. They both said, I can't breathe.
Breathe.
They both said, I can't breathe.
Come on, man. Y'all know what time it is. That's why you out here.
Well, I really appreciate you giving your perspective, mate, because people in Australia don't have the understanding of...
This the history of police killings.
This is Beau Spearham with Let's Talk.
And that was I Can't Breathe, Dobby, and featuring Barker. That song came out under the height of the Black Lives Matter and Stop Black Deaths in Custody rallies that was happening, that sort of, you know, engulfed pretty much, you know, most of sort of this country and the world. You know, everybody was sort of clicking at it, but, you know, black fellas sadly are still, you know, overrepresented in the injustice system. And whether that's, you know, sadly passing away in police custody or prison custody, it still happens, you know, not just sort of, a hashtag, as lots of mob have been saying. And I want to ask you too, Danny, before we move forward, the end of that, you know, there was what's sort of been infamous now, is a white Australian journalist at the end saying, oh, you know, thank you for your perspective. This doesn't happen much in Australia.
Yeah.
As a journalist.
I remember watching that live that morning. It was about the Black Lives Matter in America that were going on, and her comments was that this doesn't happen here in Australia, that this, we don't know what's going on, we don't understand. That's the widest comment in media I've ever heard, man. Like, it was just sickening, you know. And we just said off air, like, we're all tweeting that journalist and getting her, you know, hey, you know, educate yourself, you know. But she just blocked all the black journos because that's what they do. They don't want to be educated. And we call them out on their issues that are so uneducated and just ill-informed, actually, what's happening here in Australia. You know, it was really offensive because, you know, we just had a death in custody here in Brisbane not long ago, you know, and it happened all last year. We had so many deaths in custody as well in this year. So for her to say that, it was just deeply offensive, and it really upset not only journalists but family members, our community, and just goes to show how naive Australian media is and can be and still is, you know, and it's almost borders on sort of casual racism when they say these comments.
Oh, definitely, you know, ill-informed, uneducated, you know, and then, you know, like you just said, you know, the people who are affected by that comment, you know, are the families, you know, who have lost loved ones, you know, and when we say lost, you know, not just, you know, have been dragged through the courts and the media, you know, and the media hasn't been too friendly to lots of the, you know, the mob who have passed away, but then also their family members, you know, who have gone through that process as well. And
very much so.
You know, and then sort of the community and the activists that sort of get behind that as well. But we might just get back to sort of yarning about the show as well. You drove up this morning to be a part of the rally today. Obviously, I'm sure you're reporting on it as well.
Yep.
It's an important issue. You know, like I said to the first two guests on the program, Ruby and also Tamika, you know, last month on the 24th, it became public that, you know, the environmental minister approved Santos. How did it make you feel when you saw that, brother?
No, I was...
Because I think your tweet might have been the first one I saw, actually, that come up on my phone.
Yeah, I got the wire straight away, so I was on Susan Lay's hit list. So just any decision that came out. I was actually really shocked it came out so quickly. I put a tweet up, and the first person I messaged actually was Nathan Leslie, because he's been out there doing a lot, and someone I looked up to in this fight. And he said to me straight away that I'm not surprised. This is always going to happen, bro. It's just the next phase of the fight, you know. So that sort of leveled me a little bit because I was really upset. I expected it to happen, but just, and I think I said yesterday, the speed of which it happened. And you know, and there's a big push for this, for the economic recovery around sort of post-COVID. And the gas plant is a big part of that economic recovery. So we've got a hell of a fight.
Well, irrespective of sort of the last 6 months, I'm sure this would have been on the cards anyways, you know, the sort of economic boom down in that part of the country as well.
Yeah, some big gas plants across Australia, and Narrabri is just one of them. And mm-hmm. It's all about sort of economy, and they reckon it's lowering electricity prices. It's just not going to be the case.
You know, and I remember talking to Nafe as well, and he's saying, like, lots of these sort of towns are starting to turn into sort of, you know, these mining towns as well. Rent's starting to go up, you know. Like, you know, old shops are sort of shutting down and new stuff is sort of popping up, getting ready for this sort of economic boom as well.
Yeah, and it's not good. Like, you have a look at Western Australia, and you look at communities up there, Wyndham, Kununurra, and where these mining booms happened. And then you've got houses that are worth probably, let's say, $250,000. Because of the mining boom up there, the houses rise up to about $1 million, maybe more. And then once the mining boom ends, all that economy just bursts its bubble. So it just collapses. So if you're up there buying a house as a miner for $1 million, you can't sell that house. You've got to hold on it for the rest of your life. You can sell it for $250,000, but you lose $750,000 on it. And it creates this, you know, this false economy of young people up there, 18, earning $150,000 a year, spending it on, you know, not very good things. We hear a lot of, you know, things that young people are spending their money on, including our own people up there mining. So, you know, there's a lot of negatives to it, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people fall on a heap because of it, and it wrecks communities. And we've seen this at Narrabri now with the Hi-Vis army come in, and people are just looking for that quick fix of money, but long term it's going to kill the country. And you know, even for non-Indigenous people living out there, there's not going to be much they can do out there once, you know, fracking goes ahead.
Mm-hmm. But then also, like, the life expectancy of mines is to 15 to 20, maybe longer as well. The Narrabri gas project is 20 years that they're proposing. So if you were, you know, if these people were to live there, you know, and sort of, you know, get involved in this mining and raise their kids, you know, it's sort of not a place. I don't know. Like me, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't sort of make a conscious decision to sort of do that anyways. But you know what I mean? Like it's not a.
You know yourself, growing up out west, the river or water is your fun park.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you go. There's not much else to do. So you spend a lot of time at the rivers, at the creeks, at the dam, swimming, having fun with your family, fishing. Doing all those cultural stuff that we do on the water. This won't be able to occur because fracking is very poisonous. It's very dirty. You know, that coal seam gas, you've got to really look at how that is extracted out of the ground. And, you know, Jeremy Buckingham, the former Greens state MP, you know, he did a lot of videos where he's going around fracking communities and, you know, was in a boat lighting with a lighter and the river just blew up on fire, you know, nearly fried himself. But you know, that's the sort of stuff that goes on, and that's the sort of destruction of country. So you can't take your families out to swim in the water because you might get sick.
That's it, because yeah, there's a possibility that, you know, while fracking, you know, it may crack, you know, under a river, and this coal that's sort of coming up may seep out and then go into a river and then have something like, you know, what happened where you're lighting rivers. You know, there's you know, stories of people lighting their taps. And literally turn their bloody taps on fire.
Yeah.
Not getting a drink of water, just, you know, lighting.
Or the mob that be jumping on.
Yeah.
Always got a light. But, you they're also looking at building a 500-kilometre pipeline that sort of goes from the Pilliga right down to Condoblin, I think it is, and that sort of goes along the bark of the Darling River, so that could be quite dangerous as well to have a open pipeline, 500 kilometres, to ship all that gas off around the country. So quite dangerous.
Oh, it definitely is. And I'll bring our next guest, but look at the time, I think our last guest of this morning. Morning, Brother Nath.
Yama, good morning, everyone.
Yama.
Yama, good. Nath.
Before we go any further, your mob in your country, please.
Yeah, Yama, I'm Gomori mob from around Coonabarabran, sort of down southern part, Corindai, Regal, Hollow. Got mob from Mananji mob, Manan and that too, you know, but Gomori mob settled there in Moree on my mother's side. Dad and then they Radri Gomori too. So, big mob, you know.
Biggest mob, all right, yeah. We're all scattered all over the East Coast this afternoon, getting ready.
Yeah.
How's that bub in the background?
Right. Yeah, that's bub, you know. Like, as we know, you know, some of us got family, so we manage the two worlds. And wife's working today, so I got baby duty this morning. And then we'll head down to the rally this afternoon to suss it out, and we're in Melbourne at the moment, so I'll be backing up the people in Narms at 5 o'clock,
deadly,
and then
brother,
we'll go down and suss out the mob, you know, and see how we can go, bring some awareness to what's happening back on our tribal lands there.
Well, I guess, you know, there's a couple of people that I refer to when sort of, you know, who have been active on country as well, yourself, Auntie Polly and Auntie Dolly as well. You know, and for our listeners, what's some of the work that you have been doing, you know, over the last couple of years, brother?
Yeah, it's a lot of the work I've been doing is raising that awareness, but also, I guess, the understanding is studying this stuff. Like, a lot of mob don't realise there's a lot of time that needs to be invested from our personal lives to start understanding the workings of gas fields, gas pipelines, water agreements, land use agreements, and all these other sort of arrangements that office and lead to the situation we're in now. It's, you know, gas fields going in. So working with other communities, you know, I've had the privilege of working with some other really strong communities. Now, this gas field was first tried to be put in up in the Northern Rivers too, up in that Bentley, up around that way, Glenugie.
Yeah, the old Bentley block, eh, bruh?
Yeah, that's right. And we had a lot of mob jump up there and go support their mob too. So they blocked that there, and then they tried to get it in at Gloucester. So the community in that stood up as well. And during all this process, you know, we were cruising around, forming partnerships and building up connections between other communities. And also that the other NGOs working in these space. So during that time too, we had to sort of forge sort of working documents together between First Nation mob and the other NGOs to say that, hey, we agree that this is a really important fight, not only the First Nation mob, but to the other non-Indigenous mobs. So building those relationships has sort of really been a big part of that, building the connections. And in saying that, we've also still got to maintain those responsibilities back to our country too. So a big part of that has been entail of course, cruising back around country. So I stopped counting at 35,000 kilometres. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And since then, I've done 2 more trips back to home and I've just come down to Melbourne. So,
yep.
You know, it's just raising that awareness, brother, doing what our old people are doing, just keep yarning. Unfortunately, this is just not the only thing that we face in our communities. So, you know, that real talk, you know, we've got trying to get our kids to school, you know, fighting incarceration rates, you know, a whole lot of other social issues in our communities as well.
All adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's also doing those yarns too, you know, how we can support each other ultimately, but also there's this other thing coming now, you know, which is probably a really, really big issue, knowing the impact of a gas field, what it does to country, and ultimately the effects it would have on our people, you know, that are those ongoing effects of colonizations and those colonialisms that come out of these actions upon our people and our land.
Yeah. Now, if you've been out there a fair few times, you know, you've obviously created a lot of awareness for a lot of the Gomeroi Nation and Gimilaray mob.
Yeah.
Can you paint a picture for the listeners out there of what you've seen when you've been driving around? On the ground out there at the moment, because people just think the approval's gone ahead and nothing's happened at the moment, but this has been a rearguard action by the federal and state governments for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. And what you're saying there is 100% correct. This is the New South Wales state government's biggest ever investment in a public project in its existence. So what's happening at the moment, so these pads, the way it sort of links up is through pipeline. So there's a lot of pipelines running all throughout the Pilliga, probably over 20 to 30 kilometres of pipeline running out through these tracks. And they all link up to these other things and these broader infrastructure projects known as these pads or these well pads, which is a cleared sort of acreage block where they actually clear it for, you know, it's a fence area and it's just cleared of all anything on the top surface. They clear it, preparation, ready then for a rig to come in and put the well sort of stuff in. And then those things then go in, you know, kilometres into the ground. So what you're actually seeing is these blocks. Now, if you've seen a housing development, you see this cleared land and it's just there, but there's all these other parcels of land. So when you come out through the bush, you just see this cleared bit of scrub. And you're like, what's going on here? You go 30, 40, 50 metres up the road, you see another one, you know, because these things are done in sort of fours or fives that come off these corridors, which is actually more like a grid system, but they're actually looking down, exploring, seeing where the viability is. But what they actually need to do is put sink so many in out there to see where the actual gas is and the actual viability of the project. So what you're actually seeing in the first stage is 850 wells, which is a great impact, but this project has allowed for the passing of 37,000 gas wells.
Just really quickly, if you are tuning into Let's Talk, we are chatting to Nathan Leslie. He is chatting to us from Newcastle. And just really quickly, the people who are listening via the National Indigenous Radio Service NERS. We are about to cut out. We are going to continue this discussion, though. So if you are listening via NERS, please go to our website and listen to the podcast that will be uploaded later. But Brother Nafe, also, you know, what's it like, you know, knowing, well, I guess, you know, you knew this was coming. You know, lots of people knew this was coming as well. You know, and seeing sort of, you know, the reaction from mobs, from young fellas, other fellas as well. Is it, you know, are you sort of in two minds? Are you like, yeah, no, it's good to see, you know, people up in arms now, you know, or is it like, oh, you know, I've been telling you fellas, you know, like, you know, it's now or never, you know, do or die sort of, you know, attitude to it?
Yeah. In saying that, yeah, but I was like, these are these real frustrations, you know. I'll be lying if I said I haven't been frustrated with those other things, you know. I'm feeling.
Well, I've got to apologise and sorry, bro, that, you know, I didn't, you know, ask another fellows, you know.
No, well, that's all right, my brother. Like, this is just those things, you know, that us as do and us as a society then come back to our circle and have these discussions, you know. And at the moment, what's happened is we've had a response. And for me, doing the work and others that have been leading it have felt that impact. But with others now coming, just by having yarns, bros, you know, and even us having these yarns, you feel that load start to be shared throughout the mob again. And that's the beautiful thing, you know. And people like myself in that instance, a lot of us want to react, but that's the change, you know. And I hope that's maturity, you know, and that's what we can bring to our circles, that sense of just allowing to feel uncomfortable, allowing for these things to happen, but in saying that, just being patient, you know, in our times. I wasn't the only one, though, you know. There was a lot of us going, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So I was just probably one that was airing the voices of a lot of people and carrying those frustrations. But in saying that, with mob gathering now, it's the time's right. You know, there's no, I wouldn't say it's the wrong, there's no such thing, you know, not that right or wrong, but the timing's right now for mob to start gathering because of where the project's at, where they're looking at moving in this first stage, knowing that they're, as soon as they do this first stage, they've also got to come through and do stage 2 and 3, which is a lot of other impact there. And no one, I think they released something yesterday or the day before as well, saying that they're going to use the next 2 years as well, the sustainability and viability research, you know, seeing what's going to happen here. But why that happens, they're still putting in these wells, you know. They're trying to say that there's going to be whatever, whatever, but while we're still talking now, you know, there's a rig out there putting stuff into the ground. So it's they're real conversations, you know, that us is having. And certainly for those numbers now, Gavin, brothers, I think that we'll start to build up the momentum. What being one out is sort of hard, and even the other individuals, you know, in that space too, with the black media side, you feel sort of sometimes you carry that burden to be the voice for our mob and advocate and do what we do. So that's just that thing. And it's not a personal thing as much as I want to get upset and that, but, you know, we're all in this situation together. And
definitely, brother. And also as well, you know, Santos isn't the only threat that is down home that's as right. well. You know, and like you've been very active, not just sort of, not just, you know, in the last couple of years, but for quite a while, being involved in other campaigns, other blockades as well. Yeah. And just for the listeners, you know, how active is mining down on country?
Yeah, it's pretty active. At the moment, there's 98% of our Gomeroi country is covered in petroleum exploration licenses or mining license, exploration licenses, meaning that they can dig into our ground to explore for minerals and assets of any kind, whatever commodities they sort of find under the ground. 98% of our country is covered in these licenses. So it's pretty worrying. You know, some are expired, but during that time, they were exploration. You know, like a lot of mob don't know that there's a coal seam gas well 20 kilometres out of Moree. You know, and that awareness that it might have been capped off and covered up and still buried in the ground, but it's there. And these are those real conversations, you know, that our country is littered in these things. It may not happen today, may not happen tomorrow, but the fact that they've gone and explored, know what's under there, sort of shows what their intentions are anyways, you know, because in 20 years' time, 40 years' time, at any given point, they can activate this thing and go in, and then we'll be fighting this, you know, same fight all over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this petroleum exploration license, what I saw by Narrabri, is a lot smaller than the other ones surrounding some of these other major areas, which is of a bit shocking. You know, I only found across this information sort of seeing the actual planning, which has gone out and been proposed in these proposals for these mines, is pretty shocking once you uncover it, you know, and that there is what our people have not been informed about. These informations, the impact, and that informed prior consent for our mob to make an informed judgment, you know, of their own volition and come to their own understanding on what's going on, because that's where it's at. You know, everyone has a voice, everyone has an opinion, and it's about bringing them together too, and how we can all approach it. So, a lot of, you know, it's having those skills, mob too. You know, we've got a lot of great organisers, great administrators. In our circles, and we've also got a lot of great media people, a lot of great support people, and just a lot of great mob in general. So, you know, get that coming together, and mob in our spaces, we've been around. I think this is where we have that chance to come and put it on the table as well. Mm-hmm. And also, just not my mob, all the mob that have gone before us, we can't forget that, how important that our elders, like you're talking about, Aunt Polly and Aunt Dolly, but the other women around her, you know, and other men that have also been in that space, to give them the
time
to come and share that yarn with us when we start to get together, have our bigger organisational meetings, you know, our tactical strategy sort of stuff. That's very important of this organisation, of how we come together.
Oh, definitely, brother. We're just going to wrap up now, but thank you for joining us on the program this morning, and we do appreciate, you know, you being on the front line nearly every week.
Yeah, no,
you know,
always
updating us.
I think for my brothers, and I do it for you too, you know, I do it for everyone, because I know it's hard. We got family, so a mob were kicking down family, so shout out to the mob doing that, you know, getting up, putting bread and butter on the table, and this is why we do what we do. You know, what's that, yeah, we're the circle people.
So now he's going to come back to it.
Yeah, that's him, my bro.
Yeah. Appreciate it, brother.
If you've enjoyed the program this morning, you can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight, or go to our website, 989fm.com.au, and follow the links to the podcast, or you can stream us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And as always, it has been a pleasure. You're listening to Let's Talk, and to take us out, gonna go, Glenn Scuthorpe, No More Whispering.
Down over my hometown, the night became so still. Going north on a weekend run, a young man I knew well. No more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our hearts. Gonna rise up, break these chains, and stop these killing games. One less loved one at Christmas, one less loved one on birthdays. But that smile won't be forgotten, Cain, you'll never fade away. All the joy that you gave us, the twisted jokes and all, we're gonna rise up for you now, and for the rest who have gone. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our hearts. We're gonna rise up to make a change, to stop these killing games. So the night was blessed with evil, and the soft rain began to
fold. Walking through the park at midnight, coastal town on early morning. The shots ring out in the darkness, blood on the ground where he lay. Bitter tears will fall tomorrow for the rest of our days. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up to make a change and stop these killing games. Though there's two sides to the story, yeah, one black and one white. One is fueled by the hatred, just to take another's life. So the families are destroyed now by the hand that held that gun. It's what the white man he swears by, the black man on the run. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up, break these chains, stop these killing games. We'll miss him for the game today, when they run for the black and white, the colors of Cadougal. Hear those mighty magpies. So let's all join the line of honor, raise our glass to Cain, a son of a father, child of a mother and a friend, two sisters and a brother.